So anyway, Harkin sat me down. He said, "Champ, you're a dangerous alcoholic, a racist, and I don't think you know a lick about sports." And I said, "Ed, you dirty Polack, it's 10 in the morning. Let's go have some drinks."
No more trash talk!
No, it's not. It's Nails Weekend. NOLA Trash Talk. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McGeezy.
November 25th, 2018, from Mid-City, New Orleans. So we're here. This is number 217, I believe, NOLA Trash Talk.
Do you know?
Steven already shorted me out of Nine Inch Nails tickets today.
Yes, I did not short you.
We started last week with a really good promise of these fantastic seats at the Sanger. And I used a Nine Inch Nails song for the show today. And Steven took those tickets away.
I shorted you in the sense that I was shorted myself, so.
Not that any of us actually wanted to go see Nine Inch Nails this weekend, who were at the Sanger all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thanksgiving weekend in New Orleans, Bayou Classic weekend in New Orleans.
Oh, one thing before you, do you know what today is for you and I?
November 25th, what is this?
This would be our third year anniversary.
Third year anniversary?
Can you believe that?
How lackluster it's been.
Anyway, continue.
Let's get right to it.
Bayou Classic.
The nightmare of LSU last night.
Oh, geez.
Not a sports podcast, but oh, my God.
Yeah, that made national.
What was it? 74-72 was the final. 7 overtimes.
Yeah. Most points scored in a
which
game
works with the ever? Nine Inch Nails song we played for the intro. I'm not a Nine Inch Nails fan, so I had to like literally dig up a random tune for this. I was with a girl last night, and our goal wasn't to watch the LSU game. We didn't really care. As I've said previously, after you lose to Bama, no one cares about LSU.
Right.
It's like, oh, what bowl game are they going to play in? Oh, the Doritos something, you know, some nonsense.
Uncle Fucky's Capital One Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. No one cares. So it's like, all right, we'll just go to a bar. It's been, you know, it's 8:30, 9:30. It's been 3 hours since the LSU game started. LSU game surely is over by now. Oh, no.
Swing and a miss.
So we ended up going into somewhere that was full of people still watching the game. And it was interesting. I was like, yay, overtime. Make a boring game that no one cared about halfway interesting. And then there's another overtime. There's another overtime. And I started trolling the LSU guys all around us because I saw a guy at one of the blown calls of dozens of blown calls in the game that forced it to go to another overtime. A guy threw his cell phone at the projector screen on the wall.
That's
like Nolan Ryan Express speed. He didn't toss it. He threw it. He beamed it. He Brett Favre lasered it. To the wall.
Like, there are stories of...
Well, it sounded like someone flipped a table over because it made so much noise.
There's, like, stories of hood movie theaters with holes in the screen because they shot the screen.
That's exactly what happened. but we were joking as we're watching the game, you know, somewhere around the third or fourth overtime, where it's like, maybe we died in a car accident on the way to the bar, and this is our purgatory hell, where we're in a bar where it's an infinite LSU game going on.
That's very
which
funny.
Is why the Nine Inch Nails song works. Every day is exactly the same.
Right.
Like if you're trapped in a perpetual LSU game.
With a bunch of lunatic fans.
Yeah, with the hooting and hollering. The cell phone chucking.
Yeah. What up, bar?
We were at Monkey Hill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was being lazy.
Okay.
But it was truly I got captivated by the game in that, like, when am I ever going to see this again?
You never will.
Exactly. So I was like, I might as well watch this for history and trivia. That where were you when LSU was lost 74-72?
Jesus.
God, how bad were those defenses if you can just keep scoring back-to-back? And I don't understand college football overtime rules where right. Apparently you start on the 25.
Yeah, you just keep going.
I was completely confused of, like, okay, so it's over now. Oh, no, they get the ball again. Okay, it's over now.
Nope.
No, they get another chance. I'm like, is this going to go on forever? Because no one seemed to be giving any effort.
There's no, but that's what everybody's complaint with the NFL is that there should be something like that so there's never a tie. So you never
I
have
agree,
ties.
You never have ties.
Yeah.
But good so. Christ, those defenses obviously had no interest in playing football anymore. I guess because it was a 6-hour game.
Yeah.
And they probably were pretty tired.
Did you see what happened at the end of the game?
What, a riot?
Yeah, this one of the staffers for Texas A&M decided to get in an altercation with Kevin Falk. Do you know who that is?
No, I do not.
He is a former LSU running back in the 90s and also played pro for like 10 years. This dude's an animal. And he's on the staff at LSU as well. Like, I think he's an assistant coach. So you're seeing this 20-year-old puny white kid getting in an altercation with a former NFL player. And
over what?
I don't know. There's an article about it, though, if you look it up. It was just Kevin Falk gets in, and there was a video of it, too. But, again, I don't know what could have possibly made that idiot from College Station get an altercation with this gentleman over here. So I was just scrolling through the NOLA.com, and I saw the article, and I watched the video. But that was it.
So, yeah, as I wandered around last night after that, there's lots of bars with drunk, sad LSU fans all revved up with no place to go. And it was fun.
So on the flip side, did you hear about Tulane?
Well, hold on. Tulane football?
Yeah.
Let's do Bayou Classic first.
Oh, okay.
Bayou Classic weekend in New Orleans, folks. It's kind of like the White Flight Weekend Junior of Essence Fest. Not as bad. I walked around. All the businesses were open. Generally, I saw plenty of white people downtown.
Yeah.
No, but nobody was...
Because it's an afternoon game, and really, it's like, if you can get out before the vampires get out, like, if you just stick to white people hours, you know, like, 9, 10 o'clock, you know, if you stay out till 2, 3, then you're going to have issues.
It is an afternoon game. I was at the game. The game takes forever.
Because of the ban?
There is the ban, and there's flags on literally every play. It is like an hour and a half longer than an NFL game.
Oh, wow.
It is.
That's how sloppy it was?
Yeah, it's just... I think Southern won, by the way, if you were waiting for that. Drum roll, Southern.
Yeah, I was going to assume that they won.
Now, here's the problem, though. What I had to deal with today, this Sunday morning, the morning after a big event weekend in New Orleans, is that everyone's checking out of their hotels and everyone's leaving, and nobody knows where they are in the CBD. So I was sitting in lots of traffic just getting out of the CBD to get to
I-10.
Yeah,
I felt bad
for
you.
Nobody knows what's happening. My parking garage was jammed full of people.
You take 10 to get here?
It's just, yeah, it's fast.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's fast. Getting to I-10 is the hardest part of driving in New Orleans.
Right, of course.
I mean, normal traffic is one thing, but just getting to it. Getting out of Uptown to get to I-10 is a chore. Because I-10 runs through a corridor where there's no neighborhoods where anyone lives by it, other than downtown.
Especially the jungle of Uptown. Like, if you're past Magazine on Nashville or something,
yeah, if you
like
live isolated areas where the rich white people live, they're far from the interstate.
Very far.
You know, they 50 years ago, somebody probably wanted to make an expressway around the port.
It ain't never happened.
Or another bridge.
Yeah.
From Marrero into Uptown.
No.
And the wealthy white people put the kibosh on that. So this isolated little island of white, like Old Metairie too, little isolated pockets where, you know, no one else is moving into their territory.
No, not at all. The old green wave yesterday.
Okay, we're doing a lot of sports today.
I know. Well, it's an interesting story. They needed one win to go to a bowl game. And they're playing...
Which bowl, Steve?
Oh, definitely Uncle Fucky's Boca Raton Bowl, whatever. I don't know. definitely. But what was interesting was that if Tulane wins, and if Florida State would have won, Florida State would have had 6 wins. And they probably would have played each other, which would have been an interesting, fun little get-together. Tulane versus Florida State.
6 wins?
That's all.
6 wins for a bowl game?
That's all you need. Well, to be bowl eligible. So, technically, you could win 6 and not go.
What a lack. Like, who? Yeah. What? Even if you're a fan of your team and they're going to a bowl, you win 6 games. It's not a good team.
No, it's very lackluster. But Tulane was dominating Navy.
That's like 8-8 teams in the NFL going to the playoffs.
Well, it's happened. 7-9 teams have gone and beat us.
I know. I remember.
So Tulane needs to beat Navy. They're dominating this game 21-3 in the first half. And Navy runs a triple option, so they don't throw the ball much. They just run it. Navy scored 18 points like that in the third quarter, maybe 7 minutes.
Bowl game?
Oh, gosh. The entire – I wasn't there. My buddy's at the game, and he goes, the entire crowd was just, are we really going to not go to a bowl game? Because this was supposed to be an easy win for Tulane. So, blah, 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 back and forth, back and forth. Tulane misses a field goal that shook the, it shook the goalpost. That's how hard it was kicked.
Oh.
Then Navy gets the rock and has this like 9 minute drive down the field. They go for it on fourth every time, get it every time. Touchdown Navy. Okay. There's a minute and 30 seconds left. Tulane.
Was this at Tulane Stadium?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing. It was and it was a beautiful day for football. So Tulane has it and, three timeouts, all the timeouts. They drive down the field. Boom. Score on a nasty play. What does Tulane do? Kick the extra point and go to overtime? No.
2 point.
Go for two. Sick fade route. Game over.
That's it.
So that's how if so that's how you do it.
So the trade-off in New Orleans is if you want your Saints to be good, all the other teams have to lose.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, gosh. And the Saints had another close one. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because there's been two games
Two Saints game this season or this week in between NOLA Trash Talk episodes. And I was watching Atlanta fans comment online about their experiences traveling to New Orleans for games. Because there's like some trash talk about how miserable – how you know how the fans like will throw trash at them in the nosebleeds?
A complete lie.
I know. But people were telling stories of yeah, man, we got invited to go have like jambalaya at some of these tailgates, and everybody was super nice to us. And New Orleans is a beautiful city.
Right.
And I was just like, I kind of want them like to throw batteries at them. Like I'd rather have the mean fan experience than them like the Atlanta fans going online, pretty much writing a Yelp review of their trip to New Orleans for a Saints game. Be like, everybody was really gracious and super nice. Like, I don't want to hear that. No,
I mean, I always like
fight in the bathroom.
I've always liked some casual ribbing, you know. But I don't even talk to people I don't know. So I would never engage in that. The funniest story of that ever is when 2007, a group of us were at the LSU-Florida game, and all of our friends are Florida fans. And we got split up, and one of our friends was asking an LSU tailgate, just very nicely, you know, excuse me, sir, where is the stadium? Can you just point me in the direction of the stadium?
Can't you see the stadium from the tailgates?
No. This is very far away.
Okay.
And if you don't know where you are, I mean, LSU, you know, campus is huge.
Yeah.
The guy goes, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Ha!
And my buddy, you know,
from New York.
My buddy, in a very, he goes, oh, okay, well, I'll just be going to fuck myself then. See you later. So funny. But yeah, that's LSU Florida for you. But yeah, so the Atlanta people come in and they're such trash. I mean, it's just so
no,
awful.
Apparently they're super nice folks. Everybody had a wonderful time, and it was a lovely Thanksgiving weekend.
Missy Elliott was here and went to the game. And when I walked in, I went to the game.
I don't know this, and you're going to confirm it for me right now. Missy Elliott's an Atlanta fan, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just seemed like that in my mind. Yeah, Missy Elliott probably lives in Atlanta.
She's from New York originally, but yeah, I think she's an Atlanta fan. So I did not know this, but I was meeting a buddy of mine, Uncle Fester. It was me, Uncle Fester, because that's who I was going to the game with, kind of a last-minute ordeal. And he said, hey, I'm at the club that's on top of walk-ons.
It's like walk-ons private events.
Yeah, just like, but they had.
Yeah,
but,
I've been up there lots of times.
But they opened it up before the game, so like people could just go there and stuff. You walk in, it's nothing but Atlanta fans. And I walked in and I was like, that girl really looks like Missy Elliott.
How would you recognize
this? I don't know why. I don't know why I did. But I went over to get a drink and then walk the game. And then looking back, she was doing like a Instagram stories or Facebook Live. And I'm pretty sure in her Facebook Live, you can see me being like this.
Is that Missy Elliott?
I was like, Missy Elliott? I don't know. But
she interrupted her Facebook Live stream with, excuse me, are you Missy Elliott? That would have been great. Who are you?
Oh, gosh. I just didn't know. It was kind of dark in there. Literally.
Dude, those Thursday night games at the Superdome are awful.
Yeah, I
love going home at 11 o'clock at night and having to go straight to work in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that must have been brutal.
I know it was a holiday for everybody else, but not for me.
Yeah. But again, we just edged Atlanta out barely again, huh, Josh?
Yeah, just
oh,
barely.
Oh, gosh. We got really lucky that game. I know.
Yes, we did.
Did you see some of the fumbles?
Yes, of course.
Like Julio Jones goes airborne. We get that one. We get the random one on the.
Yeah, but our defense also, at that last drive, was just doing like a prevent.
Right. Oh, okay.
So that last score really shouldn't have counted. So it should have been 31-10.
So it ended up being, it was 31-17.
And Drew's interception shouldn't have counted.
Oh my God, he tackled him.
Yeah. Well, let's anyway. We'll get off the sports thing. Sure. We don't have to do a Saints prediction at the end of this Nola Trash Talk episode.
Even though we probably should,
I guess we
it's another Thursday game in Dallas.
It's far away on Thursday night. We can, I guess we will do a Cowboys game.
Laws, where are you from? Far, far away.
Dallas is.
Yeah.
Okay, so on top of Thanksgiving weekend, well, let's talk about Thanksgiving. Did you see anybody? Did anybody you know go to the racetrack?
Yes.
It's a Thanksgiving tradition that I have yet to do in this city. Going to the racetrack with a big hat.
Yeah, it's not great food. It's not great anything, but it's a good experience. I mean, if it's nice weather, and it was.
See,
nice
I had
weather.
To work all Thanksgiving day, but luckily for the Saints game, when I was over there, we had a Thanksgiving spread, so I did get my turkey and ham.
There you go.
If that matters, you know, it's like magically this time of year. Now we can drink eggnog. Arbitrarily, like we're gonna have eggnog now because it's after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and it was nice to see a lot of the players and just get trash talking. Like Dirty Bird was on the menu.
There was some excellent screen caps of Mark Ingram eating a turkey leg.
It was hilarious. In fact,
I was watching that live. I was watching that broadcast as they were doing it live, and I was like, "What is going on? Like, how much of this are they gonna put on TV?"
Right. The other fun thing that I'm enjoying right now is the...
I'm talking about, for the people, the Drew Brees, Sheldon Rankins, Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara standing around the turkey.
Just grubbing.
And just... And not prepped at all for, like...
anything.
Drew's got a giant chunk of meat in his mouth. Yeah. He can't talk. The Sheldon Rankins stands there. They don't ask him any questions. He's just, like...
Just grubbing.
Longingly looking at Cam Newton. Or not Cam Newton, Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan,
Cam Jordan was there, too. Yeah, how many of them were crowded around that thing?
It was like six, yeah.
It's just like, what's going on?
I like our new tradition in the Dome now is like when we're up 50, we play Choppa style.
Mm-hmm.
You liking that?
I do.
Yes.
But where did that come from?
I don't. I think it has everything to do with Alvin Kamara. So the best one I saw was this. There's like,
but is it only when we're up by...
Well, we've only done it 3 weeks in a row because we've been smashing people. So, but this one guy, he had his arms like this. You know how like they're doing the little Chava style dance?
Yeah.
And he had AK-41, but it actually looked like it was actually tattooed. It didn't look like it was a Sharpie. So
maybe he already got an AK-41 tattoo.
That's ridiculous is what I'm saying.
Why not? He's going to be here for at least a few more years in that rookie
contract. I hope so. There was, and again, this is off the football, but it's Alvin Kamara. There was a lot of people hating on Alvin Kamara because he would not, like, sign autographs and stuff while his family was in town. His family's from Atlanta, so they're all in town for the game and Thanksgiving. And he's out with his family, and, you know, people are coming up to him, and I'm sure it's a good feeling, but he's like, guys, I'm with my family. I got, you know, but he was a little bit more dismissive than that. And like people,
who cares?
I know people like talking shit about this guy, and I just, you know, if the guy's like wants to be with his family, like let him be.
Especially on a holiday,
right?
I would not,
right?
I don't know. I see Saints players out and about all the time, just not interested in them. Yeah. I got cornered in the goddamn hallway with them at the Eagles game.
Wow!
I was walking down the corridor as I was out on the field. And this is me big leaguing everyone who doesn't get to do this stuff. This is work. Everybody else was tailgating, having a good time. This is pre-Eagles game. Joshua, right. Sober, stumbling around the Superdome. Anyway, I get tucked in the corridor between walking out in the field and the Saints locker room. And security is usually really good about stopping you if the Saints are about to come out.
Right.
Right. Two things happen. First of all, I walk right into the group prayer Taysom Hill was leading.
Oh, gosh.
Where they were all had their – him, Kamara, some other guys all had their arms around each other's shoulders. And it was Taysom Hill leading them in prayer, which is – adorable.
Because he's such a beast.
Because it's Taysom. Jesus in football.
He's going to take somebody's head off.
But then, like, 10 minutes later, as I'm coming back off the field, security doesn't stop me, which they should have, being like, hey, the players are coming out. Like, you got to go around this way.
Yeah, because so you wouldn't want to get trampled now, would you?
I'm walking out. I'm going down the hall right as, like, the Drew Brees-led fucking train of those Color Rush jerseys all come out.
You're like Simba.
I'm in the train tunnel.
Yeah.
I've got nowhere to go. It's just like a
the wildebeest are coming.
It's just a white and gold, like flood coming towards me. And I had to, like, get up against the wall and, like, skim past them. Oh, security then's like, hey, man, next time you walk, you got to go around. It's like, I know that. You didn't stop me. It was too late. I had nowhere to go. Right. I was going to turn around and walk with them.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
Dude, I know you're risking your job by doing that, but it would have
been
awesome.
Drew Brees is my size, you put pads and helmets on those people, they're huge.
They look huge, yeah.
Yeah, it's and the cleats probably give them a half inch too. Yeah, they're just giant people. So they're quite terrifying when you're stuck in a long corridor.
Oh, yeah.
Them. Yeah. Even Drew. Even old man Drew. But it's a Kamara thing.
He got fined, too. The most arbitrary.
Wait, he didn't get fined for not signing autographs.
No. That was just an aside. I was just scrolling through Twitter and reading stuff about. Actually, he actually addressed it on Twitter. He said, "For everybody that came up to me and wanted to talk, like, I didn't talk to you because I was with my family. I'm really sorry." Like, but he said, "Like, sorry, I'm not sorry." It was great.
Oh, good.
I love it.
I think he.
But he got fined for the throwing the ball at the Eagles punter after he gave him a cheap shot.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the fine amount. I it's not, you know, these fines are like $10K, $15K. No,
right.
It was $10,663. I think the most arbitrary number ever. How do you come up with that?
Didn't he get like rough though? He was like, it was like he got suplexed.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what happened. Okay, the punter went out and made the tackle. Fine. Good, you're a punter, you're very brave.
But he gave him like a German suplex where he threw him over his head.
Well, no, he tackled him, and then he mushed his head in the
right.
When he was getting up. That's a cheap shot. Dude, like, you don't do that.
They should have canceled out. Anyway, but I think somebody made the comment, I think it was Alvin, that they were talking about for the fast forward to the other game, the Falcons game, that throwing touchdown passes to four undrafted receivers. And Alvin said on Twitter,
like we're running up the score.
No. Alvin said on Twitter that, you know, you've got Drew Brees at quarterback. We can go get somebody off Poitras.
Yeah, we can get somebody from the snack bar over there.
Oh,
can you run a route? Yeah. I mean, I think that's the beauty of what we do, is that if you can run a route and you can memorize this encyclopedia, which is a playbook, you're going to be open. So. Anyway, but
it was a lovely Thanksgiving.
It really was, yeah. And no murders.
No murders
in the quarter, especially.
The weather's nice outside, and New Orleans is on pace for the lowest murder rate in 30 years.
Were we talking about this? I don't think I was, but it's just again, 10-1 Saints, murder rate lowest ever. No murders during Bayou Classic weekend.
But we've had winning seasons before, obviously, where
not like this.
Yeah, we had the 13-0 year.
Right.
That murder rate was still high, 2009.
Yeah, the third. But what I was thinking is that we haven't had back-to-back seasons like this where we're winning, you know, 9-10 straight two seasons in a row. I mean, think about Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara doesn't know what it's like to lose in the NFL, really.
With 1 month to go till Christmas, folks, only 148 homicides in Orleans Parish. The lowest rate since 1986, so over 30 years.
When we had 160,000 more people, too.
There's 160,000 more people here in 1986?
Absolutely, dude. Katrina washed so much stuff out.
I understand that, but that is still so substantial. Like, New Orleans was awful in the 80s. Why did so many people live here?
It was awful. It really was.
Oh, okay. So,
But wait, 148, we're on pace for 140, I love it. We're on pace. They're assuming more people are going to get murdered.
Oh, no more people are going to get murdered.
Yeah, but take the East out.
Yeah, you take New Orleans East out.
Where are we now? That's what I want to know.
That's true.
Because we take the East out.
Didn't New Orleans East want to become their own city?
They did, and we should have let them.
Because that would have skewed all the crime rates, and property value could have gone up.
Yes, you also could say. They're so far removed from the actual city of New Orleans.
Baton Rouge wanted to do that too, split into
East
two
and West.
Cities.
Yeah, they should too. I don't see why anyone that lives in Orleans Parish, you know, we'll call it the West, I guess. I don't see why anyone here has any association with anyone in the East. And if Angela's listening to this, I'm sorry that I'm crushing where you are from. My bad.
The number of homicides in New Orleans for 2018 currently stands at 132. Only 132, an 8% reduction from the same point last year. And last year, we were ranked fourth in murder rate in the United States.
So murder rates are going down, and our car insurance are, like, they say, like, we're the, like, we're a bad driving city.
Yeah, according to Allstate.
But we're not, we're actually better than the aggregate of the country.
Because we're smaller.
Right. But even if we got better at driving and those numbers.
See, there's no insurance company that can sell policies based on the murder rate.
Right.
So thus reporting the murder rate going down doesn't harm anyone's bottom line.
Exactly.
However.
Thank you. You knew where I was going with this.
If you were
going
to report that, like, New Orleans driving the least accidents in 30 years. You can't say that because then everyone's going to turn around and look at their insurance policy.
The insurance commissioner of the state.
Like, hey,
well, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
Exactly. You knew where I was going with that.
Funny how accident research projects are done by companies that provide insurance.
Yeah. Do you think they're independent?
Show me one thing that Allstate, Progressive, there's like what, like four companies? Geico? There's like four.
State Farm.
Yeah, name one. That's four of them. Name one more. This is the illusion of choice we have in America. Vote red or blue.
We are farmers.
NFC. Oh, the general. Don't forget the general, too.
Oh, but that's not even the general is just somebody who helps you get an insurance carrier from,
right,
like, hood insurance. Ooh. Call the general one time. See what happens.
No, I'm not. No, it's okay. I have the little gecko, dude, Geico, because I just... You go online, pop up ad, hit your screen. Oh, we can save you this on car insurance. We compare all the low. Look at how many people have companies that just compare rates.
None.
Yeah, no, but like the insurance companies do it too. It's like we'll compare our rates to our competitors. Like, oh, really? You're going to tell me that the other people are cheaper than you? Once I put my information in, that's what's going to happen?
It's such an illusion.
Because I bet when I type in my zip code and... What's my social security number, and the make and model of my car. When I put that all into your system, I bet it's going to spit out the exact same rate from every company.
Because
they've
will.
All agreed that they're going to charge this. And insurance, as I've complained about before with flooding or health, is an illusion.
But in other states, but I think but in other states, they're not allowed to raise your individual rate because the county that you live in, they had to pay out more legal claims. That's not how it goes. But in Louisiana, you can do that, which I've said ad nauseum pisses me off to the nth degree because I've had one accident in 16 years of driving and I pay.
Gee, so who stays at the top crust of the city then? People who work in insurance companies and lawyers.
There you go. And the lawyers. Oh, but it's like this fun little like circle that keeps going around. Like,
yeah, because
Lion King circle of life again.
They're hanging out of the country club with each other.
But they're suing the insurance companies more, and they're raising the rates, and we're suing the insurance, and they're raising the rates, and here we go. It gets. But like for instance, in Pennsylvania, you can't do that. If you get in an accident, your individual rates will get jacked up. Based on that, not your neighbors because you got in a wreck.
Right.
If that was the logic and I found out people were getting wrecks that were my neighbors, I would publicly shame them or scream at them.
Yeah. Can we bring back the stocks? Where you do something stupid and you have to be in the town square and everybody throws tomatoes at you. That
at least I'd get something for my money's worth.
I mean, I guess technically that's what hashtag does now. Me too is supposed to shame people.
Ugh.
So you embarrass. So the public shaming is the punishment for the.
Can't even.
No,
say.
Let's bring back the stocks. Is what it's called? What is it?
The stockade.
Stockade.
Yeah.
Bring back the stockade. Put them in Jackson Square. Anyone who does something stupid, like when we bust Mike Yenny for sending underwear to Jesuit children. Let's put Mike Yenny in the stockade. I had a great conversation with I was with a girl at a bar, and she introduced me to a friend who was there as a NOPD. And they were talking about she was mentioning the election coming up for Plaquemines Parish. And I had to be like, what parish do you live in? Plaquemines? I was like, oh, as long as it's not JP. And then the cop was like, "What's wrong with Jefferson Parish?" And immediately, like, "Oh, well, your parish president buys underwear for little boys." And he made his like,
"Wait, no, he, you said he was an NOPD or a JP?"
He's NOPD, but okay. Clearly he was probably living in
Jefferson Parish. Okay.
And well, that was never proven. I'm like, yeah, he was definitely sending.
He said that to you?
Yeah.
A cop?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, "Those are just allegations." And I was like, dude, that guy, Yenny is, it's like, I can't, we can't promote this more on the Little Trash Talk. Mike Yenny sends underwear to 15-year-old boys at Jesuit.
And after then he asks, made a speech there.
And then asks them, "Hey, have you worn what I bought you yet?" And then when accused by the whatever his counsel is beneath him, "Hey, you're embarrassing us. Step down."
No.
No. Just flat out ignored it. And they had no recourse, and Mike Yenny running for re-election, actually, as parish president.
The only thing that that cop could have said that was better than that would have been...
This guy's probably like 20 to 30 years older than me.
Right.
And he was really incredulous by the fact that I was like, "Yeah, Mike Yenny wants to touch little boys."
Oh my gosh.
She's like, "Well, that's just an allegation." I'm like, dude, no, he does.
The only thing better he could have said is, "That's a false flag operation." That's the only thing better you could have said there.
Dude, every facial, like, Google Mike Yenny.
What a delusional motherfucker.
In images. Google image search.
The fucking kid came out and said he did it.
Yeah.
Is he lying?
This is all anyone has to do. Image search Mike Yenny on Google. Every picture of Mike Yenny's face looks like someone who just got accused of, like, what? He's just, "Huh? What? Me?"
Oh, no.
That's his expression.
Is there a reason why he's not, you should have said this. Is there a reason why he's not allowed in any public school?
Yeah, really. He's banned.
He's
from
banned
the
from public schools. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's just allegations,
that's right.
Though.
I should have mentioned that to this. Like, you're a police officer. You
were so blown
stuff.
Away by the guy's disbelief that you couldn't even get that thought in your mind, which would have been perfect.
It's
obviously,
like, someone's going to bat for Mike Yenny. It's like,
what?
I must be drunk.
And he's
a
cop.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. What? That's.
The guy have kids?
I would assume so. Sweet Jesus. Anyway, all right, back to our insurance scammers. What was I going with? Oh, I got a check from Geico. I had to change my policy over when I put my new vehicle in and took my old vehicle off.
Right.
And whatever I did adjusted my rate, and I got a check for $5 from Geico. Thanks, Geico.
Amazing.
What's the other Progressive does the rewards where you don't get in an accident and they write you a check?
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not changing my insurance just to test that whether or not it's true. Sure, so many people like follow up with their insurance companies. "Hey, I haven't been in an accident in 5 years. Where's my check at? Why is my rate going up every year?" Oh, because you're a neighbor.
Yeah. I was so, like, again, just being on the phone, and I said this on the podcast whenever it happened, maybe a year or two ago. I was yelling at this person, and then I had to apologize because I was yelling at someone. It's like you're yelling at the customer service person. They don't own the business. Like they're just telling you what the guidelines here are. But I hated the fact that he was trying to justify it to me. That's what I hated.
I got in so many arguments with health insurance people.
Like, don't sit there and tell me what the rules are, but don't sit there and tell me the justification for something that's completely criminal.
When I was arguing about Obamacare years ago, I was arguing with one of the salespeople or whatever, customer service people helping you pick your policy.
Oh, at health.gov?
It was a local Blue Cross Blue Shield. And the woman was on my side the whole time. She was like, "Our rates went up crazy. My family has to pay like $5,000 a month now." Something absurd. It's like, yeah, it's a ripoff. And I'm like, okay, so this whole Obamacare thing, this is incentivizing staying poor. And she's like, yep, absolutely.
It absolutely is.
I'm like, well, I'm not going to buy a policy from you, ma'am, but the fact that you are agreeing with me, I don't know if this you're actually agreeing with me or you're agreeing with me to try to sell me a policy. Hey, I'm on your side, Josh. They're ripping us all off.
But hey, right the bronze package is, you know.
Ugh. I love the names. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with health insurance anymore. But the catastrophic policy.
Yes.
As if most people have anything interesting happen to them in their day-to-day lives. Like what catastrophe.
Especially living in New Orleans where if you live... Let's say you live.
Joshua, you could flip your car on I-10 tomorrow and get a fucking brain cancer.
Even better. Let's say you don't have to drive on interstates like the person you're looking at right now.
Right.
What are the odds of you flipping your car
in a high-speed accident?
Yeah.
Like, how often does your car go over 40 miles per hour?
It rarely does.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't really have to deal with the interstates too much anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, like, and so we get to pay more for that? Great. Awesome.
I don't understand. Like, if you can prove, this goes to the health thing, because, like, there's no way to quantify my lifestyle and then show it to a company. Like, here's what I do every day. Here's how healthy I am. Here's what I eat. Here's how often I exercise. I don't smoke. Here's all these things. Like, quantify this so I got to pay less than this guy. So driving for car insurance, can't I just show how little I drive in my day to day?
You can, which is what I did. But then they'll come audit you.
Like they come audit.
This is what you got
to
tell.
I was trying to get the cheapest rate on my new lease because I'm like, dude, I live next to where I work now. Like, I'm barely going to be driving my car.
So you got to how many miles do you say you're going to drive a year?
I get the cheapest one they offer is the 30,000 3 years, 36 month.
No, I'm talking about for your insurance company, how many miles a year did you say you were going to drive?
Oh, yeah. You say how many miles you traveled per day?
Year.
I did like the minimum.
What's the minimum?
It was on Geico, it was like how often do you drive a week? Like it's like 10 miles, 15 miles,
okay.
25 miles, more than 25 miles.
I told them that I drive 1,500 miles a year.
They believed you?
They came out and did an audit. I told you that.
Oh.
That was when I lived a mile from my office.
How much money does that save you?
Probably per year.
They probably like don't want people to do that.
It's like 200 a year.
That's really not that much.
It's not that much.
Considering it goes up every year.
Right. It's not that much, but it was basically they were bumping my rates up, and they said, oh, well, we see you drive 4,000 miles. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I drive 1,500.
My car's 20 years old.
Yeah. I was like, I pay you guys twice what my car is worth per year.
No kidding. You really do.
The other thing is I have uninsured motorists, which you have to. I mean, if somebody smokes me and they don't have insurance,
right?
I got a $25,000 policy on that. So that's why mine's a little bit higher. But still, it's like 80 bucks a month, 85 a month.
On your car?
Yep. Simply because of the zip code where I live. It's unbelievable.
How do I... Hold on. I'm going to get the calculator out. Because I know what I pay per... I mean, I pay like, you know, two times a year.
Right.
I don't pay monthly. Okay.
So it ends up being like... It ends up being a little over 1,000 a year.
Okay. All right. So I'm paying more than you per month then.
Yes.
Okay. I was just like, there's no way with my... I was like, that sounded really high to me. Like with your... 20-year-old car, and I have a brand new car. And
no, it's a little over. It's like a thousand, whatever. So 850, and then two more times. Yeah, it's like 1,030, 1,040. So whatever.
But you don't have full coverage though.
No.
Yeah.
Why do I have full coverage?
On your dusty ketchup bottle.
Yeah. I mean, I have like $50,000 of like whatever it is liability, and then $25,000 uninsured motorist. But still, they came out to my office and said, oh. That happened to me too. We got to talk about that.
What happened? What?
Oh, sorry.
We'll get off the insurance kick.
I got interviewed by someone who was doing a national security background check on someone, and he called me up, British accent, which I didn't understand at all.
Oh, MI6? It was Bond. It was
just something like
that. Did you ask him where the aliens are?
I mean, I should play the message that I have. But he says his name on there. I don't want to, you know. But
just start playing it after he says his name.
So
that wasn't his real name, by the way. If he's calling from a national security agency.
Well, he had a 504 number, which is kind of weird too. And he said, "I need to interview you about this person." And that person is one of my buddy in El Paso in the army. And
but you're just a friend. Why were they calling you?
Because he's getting the upper clearance for some reason that he can't tell me. And the agency that this guy works for needs to interview a certain amount of people to verify things about him.
Okay. So give me examples of what this guy was verifying.
Well, first of all, he couldn't talk over the phone. It had to be in person. And it was right there.
So he came to see you at work?
Yep.
Regarding your friend in New Mexico.
In El Paso, Texas.
I'm sorry, El Paso.
Yeah. Very. It was
so tell us everything that happened, Steven, because you didn't probably sign anything. saying don't talk about this conversation?
Did not. He works for...
You really should have used this opportunity to be like, oh, so is he going to work with the aliens?
Yeah,
no. You should have just like ragged on this dude.
I was not thinking at all.
Was he British in person?
Yes.
Was he British in person?
He even had like those British teeth where they try to fit a bunch of teeth in your mouth like Austin Powers. But like just the definition of bad teeth. But nice guy.
So was okay.
I mean, you know,
was like, he wearing an Edgar suit?
He was. He's a very slender British gentleman, late 60s. And by the way, but he showed me his badge, like very legit, you know. And we
did you take a selfie with him?
No, we talked about. I should have taken.
Yeah,
a picture
what are the? Yeah, I wanna. I wanna know what kind of pictures the National Security Agency does when they verify people.
So the
what's his favorite beer?
Yeah, they said, okay, he said, we have to go through the chronological, the chronology of you and this person from the time you met him till now.
And you should have said, haven't you been watching all of us since we were born?
And that's like 20 years.
He's like, you microchipped him. Like, you should know where he's been.
That's like 20 years. So we go through the whole thing, and it took
a... Did you throw him under the bus?
No. It took about 20, 25 minutes, and then a bunch of other questions, you know, like, did this person... I have any propensity for drug gambling, and I was
boring question.
Well, I was wondering why he was asking me those, and then someone told me, well, they want to see if he's easily coercible. Like, could you say, like, does he have a lot of gambling debts that somebody could say,
did they talk just gambling, or did they talk about drinking too?
Both,
because they probably don't want people who drink, because people who drink talk.
Right. Luckily for him, he actually gave up drinking like 2-3 years ago.
Oh,
so. Well, when I'm in town, I'll have a couple, but not like he just doesn't drink, so which is actually good.
Because he was a raging alcoholic before? That's what you told the NSA guy?
No, it was just weird. It was just...
How long was this conversation?
25 minutes. It was pretty long.
It was like a job interview.
Yeah, it was Wednesday. It was the day before Thanksgiving, luckily.
How could you not tell me about this before?
It just happened. He called me Monday. I didn't respond because I wanted... text my boy. I was like, is this legit?
God, you wasted so many opportunities to talk about aliens.
I know. Oh my God.
I would rag on an NSA or CIA guy if he wanted to like confidentially talk to me about something. I'd be like, oh, okay, you want to talk to me?
He was telling me his history. He was with the Scotland Yard for 25 years. He was with the British Army for 10 years. He moved to New Orleans. He was the foreman at Domino Sugar. In their plant, the sugar plant here for 7 years, and he said, "Now I just work for this consulting company."
Private company being contracted by the NSA to vet people.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
And then the more I'm looking at you right now, thinking about this, I'm kicking myself for not telling you about this because it could have been perfect. I should have just recorded it.
Wow.
Ugh.
Yeah, could you ask, like, can I record this conversation?
I would have just recorded it regardless. We don't have laws like that in Louisiana.
Oh, you could just record?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's not a government employee. He's a contractor.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. He's got no rights.
Yeah. So it was fine, but the conversation went well, I guess. And he asked me, he said, do you know of anyone else that could tell me anything more about your friend from a very intimate social aspect? And the saddest part in the world was, I said,
no,
I can't think of anyone else.
Aw.
Even my two siblings, I couldn't say, because they haven't seen him in 2 years.
You should have just sent the guy to me.
I said, does it have to be local? He said, it can be anywhere in the world. That's what he said.
Wow.
They can live anywhere in the world.
And we'll come see them.
Yep.
Jesus. Okay, we got about a minute left, Steven. I guess we got to do our endless conjecture now for the next Saints game on Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Steven, what's going to happen?
Dallas is going to edge us out. It sucks. O'Malley's going to be running around. He's going to break his back again as he gets up out of the chair.
Oh, I'm all for those things happening.
I don't know. The Cowboys are playing well. They're playing in stride.
Just predict a blowout. 42-10.
We have to go to Jerry World. So
great. We'll dance on the star.
There was an article. It's like 7 things you can do to like tailgate in Dallas. Stay in your hotel room and get a cab. Pretty much it.
Yeah, it was like, go back to the airport.
Ugh.
Leave Dallas.
Go to Neiman Marcus.
go around and see where they filmed some scenes in RoboCop. That's like the only thing. JFK got his head blown off here, and RoboCop was filmed here.
And that's,
like
that's Dallas.
That's the two things.
There was also a show here. That was it.
All right, guys. Well, this was 217 and all the trash talk. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy. 3 years, Prophet!
Bye!